a bunch of ones that have like tons of sales, tons of reviews, and they deserve to be there. And then you're also going to see the scattered amount of like, hey, that thing only has like one review organically ranking on this, you know, on this first page. Like, why do they deserve to be there? Well, they don't necessarily. Etsy's actually giving them a shot.
Thanks for subscribing to the ZonCon podcast, the podcast all about Amazon conversations. These are the tips and tricks to become an Amazon millionaire. Here is your host, Andrew Erickson. He is all things Amazon, and so is this podcast. Let's have an Amazon conversation.
Hey guys, this is Andrew Erickson, your host, as always, of the Amazon Conversations podcast. And today we're talking about not just Amazon, but Etsy. And Etsy is, of course, I think most of you guys know, it started out as a handmade website, but now they've expanded out into a lot more stuff. And I actually have one of my really good friends, Cody, here, who's with me, who is the CEO and founder of Everbee.io, which is an Etsy analytics tool. Cody, thanks so much for being here.
Man, happy to be here, Andrew. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, super excited. It's funny. We actually met at a real estate meetup five years ago, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's crazy. Time flies by so quick.
You told me, I remember you were like, oh, I have a bunch of real estate in Phoenix and flipping houses in San Diego and all these other things like that. And I was like, that's so cool. And you were like 27 or something, or 20, or you looked like you're in your mid 20s. And I was like, oh my God, how does this guy have like multiple houses and everything?
I appreciate that. Yeah, that was cool. It was fun. It was a fun, like 4 or 5 year journey in real estate. And it wasn't Phoenix. It was Yuma. We owned some multifamily in Yuma. And then we owned, like, we were doing some fix and flips in San Diego. And yeah, that was kind of like the thing that we dove into for a while, which was super cool.
Nice. And then the fun thing is that we started talking and I'm like, oh, Cody, you're so cool, this real estate thing. And then you were like, Andrew, you're so cool with the e-commerce thing. You teach me about real estate and I'll teach you about e-com. And then we kind of like, it's all grown up since then. It's been really fun.
Yeah. Since then you've like been investing in real estate yourself. And then obviously we've done the e-commerce thing. And then that's kind of like branched out to like software and like, but yeah, we've definitely blossomed like kind of together, but like kind of separately, I guess, in a way. But it's been super fun to kind of like watch both of our journeys.
Yeah, man. It's been fun. So You have a super cool tool that I love called Everbee. Give us a little intro on what Everbee is and what it does.
Yeah, man. Thanks. It's been super fun. Everbee is the best Etsy product research tool there is for Etsy sellers, right? So if anybody we're specifically looking for products that are in demand or trending on Etsy.com, they go to Everbee to figure out, you know, what are those products? What kind of revenue are they bringing in? You know, to validate, you know, which products are actually selling on the platform. So it's exciting.
Oh, I love that. That's so cool. And I love Etsy. And the longtime listeners might know that I actually started on Etsy. That was my very first platform. I handmade, it was like a kind of a wooden map thingy. Actually, for the video watchers, I have a wooden map behind me. I didn't sell that, but I sold something kind of similar to that. Handmade them and started on Etsy. Etsy is this amazing platform. There's a lot of people who buy a lot of shit on there. And it's like a great, easy place to start. And of course, from there, I kind of moved into the Amazon thing. And now Cody has gone into the Etsy thing. It's super cool.
Totally is, man. It's fun. But I mean, that's the kind of the beautiful thing about like e-commerce is that, I mean, it's e-commerce, right? There's just different platforms. People are always buying things like literally 24 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week. And they're buying on Amazon. They're buying on Etsy. Like my wife will buy things on Etsy. I'll buy things on Amazon. She'll buy things on Amazon. Like occasionally I'll buy some stuff on Etsy. So we're in a global economy and it's super fun.
Nice. I love it. So today I thought it'd be fun, since we have an Etsy expert here, it'd be fun to talk about Etsy and how it relates to Amazon sellers. So we are the Amazon Conversations podcast, but really all the Amazon sellers are just a special subsect of e-commerce. And Etsy, of course, is the other biggest platform out there. I mean, it's really Etsy, eBay, Walmart, I think account for like 80% of all e-commerce buying in the United States. So today I thought it'd be fun to talk to Cody about how Amazon sellers can sell onto Etsy and how Amazon sellers can look at Etsy and find creative product ideas from Etsy to potentially bring to Amazon. Does that sound good?
I love it, man. Perfect.
Nice. Cool. All right. You tell me, how would a, so if I'm on Amazon
Yeah.
And I have my private label and I'm selling stuff, FBA, whatever. What's your advice to people who are on Amazon as it relates to Etsy?
Sure. So my background, as you kind of mentioned earlier, is on Amazon, right? Like me and you, we first kind of bonded over real estate. Then it went to, like, I was asking questions about specifically Amazon. It wasn't just only e-commerce, it was Amazon. And I went down the whole Amazon FBA route, right? Like listening to podcasts, going down the whole education, how to do product research on Amazon. I launched my products on Amazon. Amazon FBA was like the first intro for me as an e-commerce seller, which was super cool. And it was a great experience. Had some success in there, had some failures in there, of course, lost some money, but also overall like won and have profitable products on Amazon FBA, which is cool. But as we know, right, being an Amazon seller it's hard to find like those niches or products that are profitable to sell on Amazon. It's competitive, just like any other marketplace. And we're always looking for these creative ways to find like the next thing we should list in our product line on Amazon. If we're a specific brand in a specific niche, right? For example, like dogs, then we want to know like the next thing we should be selling, like in the dog type of niche, you know? Yeah, we can just go and invent a new dog bowl or a new dog collar, you know, we can. But typically as Amazon sellers, we like to use data to back up our decisions. And, you know, typically like you look at Amazon and you use the tools such as Jungle Scout or Helium 10, and those are awesome for on Amazon. But another creative way that people are already doing this is they're going to other platforms like Etsy, and they're seeing what are the things that are selling on Etsy. And knowing that e-commerce is not that different across all platforms, they take those product ideas, they make them maybe a little bit 20%, 30% different, make them better, and then they sell them on Amazon where the volume of the sales velocity is much higher. So it makes sense, right, to actually source product ideas, validate product ideas from Etsy, and then take them and sell them on Amazon. Like we see this strategy happening and it makes total sense why people do it.
Nice. I love that. And that's actually a strategy we've used quite a bit, especially with our last brand, our new brand too. We do this too, but because we made stuff that actually sold well on Etsy. In fact, like I said, the first things that I had sold ever were actually sold first on Etsy. So I got familiar with that platform and I thought, okay, great. Well, it worked well on Etsy. Let me try on Amazon. Cool. It worked well on Amazon. What else can work well? And since I was already in that niche, kind of found more products in that same niche that worked well. That was the brand that we sold for our 7-figure exit. Actually, a lot of those product ideas came from Etsy. So yes, it's real. It totally works.
Totally, man. I think it's such an underutilized strategy. That's kind of the cool thing about it, right? Is like, that's the opportunity, I guess, as an Amazon seller, is this strategy is not used widely by the YouTube world, by the podcast world. It's not really taught because, to be honest, there's not a lot of Etsy tools out there to let you like source validated product ideas off of Etsy until Everbee, right? So that's the opportunity that we have here in 2022. And it's something that makes sense, right? Like if we all know that Amazon dominates the e-commerce world, we know this, right? But Etsy, like you said, is not far behind. And I take a product that does $10,000 in revenue on Etsy. You take that same product and you probably put it on Amazon. Like we all know, anecdotal data, right? But we know it's probably going to be double, triple, quadruple. I don't really know, but the volume is so much higher, right? On the number of searches and sales velocity. So it certainly makes sense to implement this into your strategy.
Yeah. And the thing is that generally, because you get, like you said, there's 3X, 5X, 10X, whatever the number is, you get economies of scale. So I did make these things by hand, but then I stopped making them by hand and I used other people's hands, right, to do it. Yep. And so the nice thing is if you buy, you know, if you make one at a time, each piece costs $20. If you make 1,000 at a time, it costs $5, right? And so at that price break, at that economies of scale, you can offer the product at a lower price and still have a really healthy price profit margin. And imagine something that's selling $10,000 on Etsy or even $1,000 on Etsy. If you drop that price in half and market it well on Amazon, you would be potentially 10X, 20X that because you're able to reduce the price and offer the same awesome product.
Exactly.
Also, like the economies of scale of using Amazon too. It's like the whole FBA thing, the 2-day shipping, like that really only happens at scale.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a huge opportunity, man. It's pretty exciting to see people actually execute the strategy. And yeah, again, it's a big opportunity for people they need to implement.
So what kind of revenue are people doing on Etsy. I know obviously it depends and it's all over the place, but if you just typed in some random word like dog toy or back scratcher or custom t-shirt or something, like what, I don't know, people on the first page, I know sure it depends a lot, but like what kinds of revenue are people doing?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it depends on the niche, of course, right? Etsy is not a very price sensitive platform. I think anybody that's, you know, knows Etsy, like it's not as price sensitive as Amazon. So that's one of the advantages of selling on Etsy, is that people don't really come there for a cheapest price. They just come there for sometimes a personalized gift. Sometimes they come there just because they want to support smaller businesses, and Etsy kind of is smaller business compared to Amazon sellers. But, you know, a print on demand, you know, listing that does well, you know, will bring $3,000 to $6,000 per month in revenue. You know, that's one that's executed pretty well. And then you have like a Montessori, I just looked this up the other day for one of our users, was kind of in the Montessori and nursery niche. And they have this, you know, a crib or a gate toy thing, Montessori, and, you know, sells $10,000 a month on Etsy, right? So that's not that uncommon to see either. Obviously, higher priced items are a little better on Etsy, it seems like, just due to the fact that the velocity of sales is less. So typically higher priced items seem to do better on Etsy. I mean, certainly people are successful by selling a $4, you know, SVG or digital product or digital template, but it takes a lot more sales velocity to, you know, get a higher revenue amount.
Nice. And so Everbee tells us all the revenue and like the like analytics tools that we could use that data to kind of figure out what works well there, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you think of it like Helium 10 or Jungle Scout for Etsy. That's kind of the way that I would probably describe it. It's what some of our customers describe it as. It's a little bit different. Like what Everbee shows is estimated revenue, estimated monthly sales and estimated monthly revenue for each specific listing. So if you see like, let's say, like you said, a dog collar or something like that, then you're going to see this one specific dog collar that does, you know, $1,200 per month in revenue. And that's like our estimations. And you'll be able to take that information now and then say, oh, wow, there's not really a dog collar selling like this on Amazon or in like this color or this variation or something like that. And then be able to kind of, you know, use that as your strategy.
Nice. I love that. All right. Let's switch it up a little bit and go the opposite way.
Cool.
I have products already on Amazon and I'm interested in selling on Etsy.
Okay.
Or let's say I'm making a custom, I don't know, whatever. Maybe it's not my mass produced Chinese stuff, whatever, but I want to move into Etsy.
Sure.
Do you have any advice for somebody who already has the supply chain, already has FBA, already has that whole kind of system going? Can I just like copy paste my shit to Etsy?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you can. Etsy is, you know, against for their terms of service, like they do want it to be either, you know, either handmade or designed by you, right? So you have to just use that however you want to, right? There are certainly print on demand, for example, right? We all know that like that's not made by me when I do a print on demand shirt. That's made by the manufacturer. But the idea is that I designed this thing in the print on demand type of like Printify or Printful or something like that. Kind of the same applies to your product that you designed, Amazon FBA. Typically, yeah, it's pretty straightforward. I would look at it as like another sales channel, if anything. And as far as like coming from Amazon, like if you're an Amazon seller, it's much harder and takes much longer to get on Amazon and be successful on Amazon than it is to actually get on Etsy and start selling on Etsy. Like time to value is much less on Etsy. Like you'll be able to, one, it's cheaper. You could launch things pretty quickly on Etsy, test things pretty quickly versus Amazon. We all know the Amazon FBA process. It's a $5,000 investment for one product, you know, and you know, you hope you better be right on that one product, right? Type of thing. Whereas Etsy is not quite like that. You could start for cheaper. You could test things faster. It's like a 20-cent listing fee just to list one thing, and then it's like a 5 or 6.5% commission, the new rates, processing fee. So, where was I going with that? Kind of ranted, but essentially, I would look at it as like another sales channel. If you're trying to expand off of Amazon, you already have products on there that seem like they would fit within the Etsy categories, then it's another sales channel. That's how most Etsy sellers actually are. They have multiple sales channels and Etsy is one of them.
Nice. I love that. Yeah. So I would say from my experience, I'd say home goods, decorations, wedding, mm-hmm. bridal shower, anything party related, office supplies, not supplies like boring, like staplers, but like special kind of like office decoration stuff. Hmm. What else is big? Pottery, art, baby, lots of baby stuff, baby, yeah, everything, everything, baby, everything, kid. What else is kind of big? Oh, dogs, lots of pet stuff on there. What else is big on Etsy? That, because you're not really going to have like the mass produced giant plastic things. You don't really go to Etsy to get like a pull up bar, like a metal pull up bar. That's exactly. Kind of like a metal or plastic thing that's on on Amazon. But like, what other are there any niches I missed on Etsy?
Yeah, you kind of nailed them, honestly. Like I was going to say, like, you know, any of like the wedding stuff is really big. Like huge. If you could think of like it's huge party, bachelorette party type of stuff. I mean, I was just looking at a shop that does, you know, significant revenue for like bridal shower, just t-shirts, not anything else, just t-shirts. And they're print on demand, bridal party shirts. And that's what they do. That's it. And they do significant amount of revenue. Like a lot of wooden stuff, like you mentioned, is really good. Nursery stuff is huge. And pretty much a lot of like print on demand stuff. When I say print on demand, yeah, like you think of like the mugs, like the, you know, the mugs, you could picture like wall decor. You could think of like t-shirts, of course, but also think about like metal objects, right? Like there's some cool like print on demand type of companies out there, like selling like literally like big metal objects that are kind of like personalized and print on demand type of style. So where that's becoming like a bigger trend over the past couple of years on Etsy also.
I actually got this shirt on Etsy. I have my ZonCon podcast. Yeah, ZonCon podcast shirt. I got that some print-on-demand shirt thing on Etsy.
That's awesome. So obviously they didn't have that already listed. So like how'd you go about that? Like did you ask them for like a custom?
Oh, it was just buy this shirt and send us a picture and we'll put it on the shirt and send it to you. I'm like, okay.
There you go. Crazy. Yeah, there's tons of niches and tons of opportunity on Etsy. That's the cool part about it. And like most people think about Etsy of like, oh, it's a, you know, my aunt started an Etsy shop and like support her, you know, and like she'll get like a couple sales like, you know, every 6 months or something like that. Like that's most people I think about Etsy, but actually there's some $1 million shops, you know, Etsy shops that I know, you know, that do $1 million a year on Etsy and they've done that for the past 5 years. And you know, that's not that uncommon. Yeah, it's hard. Of course, it's hard work, just like any other business is hard work, but it's certainly possible. There's people very successful on Etsy. Every time anybody upgrades to like Everbee's, you know, paid plan, I always invite them to a Zoom call so I can just kind of like hear their story. I can hear, obviously I get to hear about like what Everbee does great and what, you know, how we can improve it. One of the main things that I'm asking is like, hey, how are your sales been like over the past X amount of years? And I get to hear this data from them. And I pretty often I hear, hey, like I did $300,000 in revenue last year, or hey, I did $150,000 in revenue the past 3 years. You know, there's successful shops definitely on Etsy, and it's pretty cool. And the majority of them always use data to back up their decisions. So that's kind of right in line with Everbee, of course.
Nice. Okay, so I'm convinced. Let me list my stuff on Etsy. Mm-hmm. How on Amazon we talk all day, every day about how to optimize our listing and then how to do a launch, right? And a launch is a very algorithmic marketing plan. We do a pricing thingy, we do a coupon thingy, we do an advertising thingy. We used to do a search, find, buy, the rebate thingy, but we technically can't do that anymore. Maybe do an influencer thing. Like there's all these different ways to like launch, and there's kind of a procedure on how you go about like, you get 10 sales and you get 20 sales and you get 100 sales and you get like 20 reviews and then you're golden. You've launched, right? Yep. Does that exist on Etsy?
Yeah, it's a great question. I get this question like occasionally I'll pop up. So I'll just say like when you are an Amazon seller going to Etsy, you immediately have an advantage. That's what I've noticed from my personal experience and also from folks that I talk to. You have an advantage because Amazon, like I said, is just harder in my opinion. It's harder to rank. It's more expensive to rank. You have to learn like, obviously like all the things you just mentioned, like keyword optimization, you know, optimizing keywords and title, obviously the back end of your listing and stuff like that. Etsy makes that way easier, it seems like to me. And if you apply what you actually have already done in Amazon and you apply it to an Etsy listing, you're going to be like top 2% of sellers just right off the bat, just because the majority of sellers right now aren't doing this. And that's, we're trying to educate, you know, existing sellers to do this, but really as an Amazon seller, that's one of the opportunities that you will be able to just capture just an opportunity right there. Now in regards to ranking strategies and things like that, this is where I feel like another part of the opportunity is. Etsy is fairly, up and coming, right? It's not like so it's people aren't haven't been crushing it on Etsy like they have been on Amazon for many years, right? Etsy's grew a lot significantly in COVID, and yeah, they were growing, you know, for the past, you know, 10, you know, 7 years, something like that, pretty consistently. But really, like, there hasn't been a lot of strategies, you know, built in for Etsy sellers quite yet. And that's, this is where the opportunity, I think, is, because these ranking like type of systems, like these ideas, like how do I get my thing to, you know, rank on the first page in X amount of days? These really haven't been really tested out properly quite yet. And I think as soon as they do, I think that's where the market is going to probably mature more. But that's the opportunity for an Amazon seller right now, is to take some of those strategies, apply them to Etsy, and just figure out if it works for you. Based on what I have learned, you know, it's very anecdotal data, but you know, Etsy is just like Amazon in a lot of ways, right? They want to sell more of your products so they can make more commissions on your product, right? It's not any different than Amazon in that way. The one thing that is different is Etsy uses a rotation. It seems they use like kind of a rotation. So if you launch like a t-shirt today, you know, Etsy is going to, and then the main search phrase is t-shirts for women or something like that, right? A high demand, you know, search term, and yours is a woman t-shirt. Likely, just because you list it, Etsy is going to try to rotate that onto the first page for a specific period of time. Now, how long that sticks on that first page, that's to be determined by your conversion rate and how well, like, you know, the market actually receives your product. But anyway, there's a lot of opportunity and there's a lot of things to be tested. So it's pretty cool.
So they rotate, like, is it like egalitarian? Everyone gets a shot at it, and then everyone kind of gets an equal share, or there's gotta be a way to win, right? Like, cool. Yeah. Like I kind of get my chance to shine. Like I get on stage for like a day. Right. So yeah. I get my stage day, right. I'm top ranked for women's t-shirts or something, right? For an hour or for a day or something, right? How do I then tell Etsy, wow, the audience loved me when I was on stage, right? I want them to do like a standing applause, like, oh my God, they're fantastic, right? How do I tell Etsy that?
Yeah, how do we invite them back, right? Every single day, and like eventually have them on stage always, right? Yeah. Being ranked on the first page always. So I mean, there's people like, I mean, we're kind of doing some of these tests ourselves, but I think the answer is what you're kind of like alluding to, is just like, if you can get your thing to convert when it's on stage and do that repeatedly, then you're going to win. And that's the same as Amazon, right? It kind of, you need to, you know, develop a strategy.
Yeah. So I know how to get on stage on Amazon. There's really like three good ways of doing it, or four. There's four good ways of doing it, right? Okay. One of them is against terms of service. Now, it was not against terms of service 6 months ago. And that is rebates. I just go to random people and tell them, I'll give you 100% rebate if you buy this shit on wherever I tell you to go buy it. Yep. That's going to have 100% conversion rate, right? And so if I know I'm on stage, can I just do a search, find, buy, rebate, and have them go find me and buy me, and then now I get that conversion? Is that kosher? Is that work? Have people tried that?
Yeah, the data's still out, honestly, on it. I think people are trying it. It's mostly anecdotal data that it's working, right? So I think in theory, yeah, it should work, right? But to like be firm on like, I've seen this work a million times over and over again, I wouldn't say that quite yet, just because the data's still out to be analyzed. But in theory, it seems like it'd work. I mean, obviously there's a majority of people, their strategy is to, you know, list a new item, turn the ads on right away, show up on the first page, obviously through your ad, and then obviously through the rotation at some point, and get conversions, you know, in a short period of time. And then naturally Etsy will favor you and rotate you again. And then eventually you're going to stick on that first page, because they only rotate a certain percentage of new listings. Not everybody is getting rotated on there. It's only like if you type in t-shirts, you're going to notice this. Anybody that goes to Etsy.com, they type in like, let's say t-shirt for mom or something like that, they're going to see a couple new listings pop up there that are like kind of mismatched in the search. And they're going to see like a bunch of ones that have like tons of sales, tons of reviews, and they deserve to be there. And then you're also going to see the scattered amount of like, hey, that thing only has like one review organically ranking on this, you know, on this first page. Like, why do they deserve to be there? Well, they don't necessarily. Etsy's actually giving them a shot and to see how they perform, because it's a newer listing. It might be under 2 to 3 months old.
Interesting. So under 2 months old. So does it make sense? Okay. So you said that everyone gets a shot, right? Okay. So if I want more shots, could I just create, let's say I have 10 products, right? 10 different very, or whatever. It's 10 different parent SKUs, right?
Yeah.
Should I create 10 listings and then just hopefully one gets a shot and they go do their thing? Or I could create 10 listings per each SKU and just call it like, you know, Andrew's hair gel and then hair gel for with Andrew and Andrew's gel for hair, right?
Yep.
And just have the same, literally the same exact product just listed 10 different times.
At this exact moment, I see your question. At this exact moment, you can do that. And there's literally strategies built around that. Like they have one hair gel in your case, right? Hair gel. And maybe we should use a handmade product probably, or like some sort of Etsy products, right? Like a nursery blanket, baby blanket.
Okay, there you go.
Right. And they take a baby blanket and they'll copy that listing, create another one, exact same listing. And they will change the, maybe the main image just because, or maybe they'll keep it the same. They don't have to. And change the title up, like you said, a little bit, change the tags up a little bit. So it necessarily doesn't compete with each other so much. And they do that 10 times. In theory, you can do that. And their strategy is built literally around doing that.
Is that the strategy? Like, do we do it 10 times or like 3 times or like 100 times?
Yeah, I think the strategy so far, it seems like based on like successful users so far, has been like a like copy it 5 times and put it on there. Because Etsy doesn't really seem to be using like Amazon, we have like an ASIN, right? You have an ASIN that you can't like, it doesn't benefit you. It kind of hurts you to like copy and duplicate the listing, things like that. Etsy, right at this moment during this, you know, podcast, like there is no penalty for that. There's no downside to that at the moment.
Interesting. And you can just do that manually. Is there software that does that?
To copy them? No, you just copy it. It's pretty quick though. It's super easy to quickly copy it inside Etsy.
Hmm. You know, we do for our Amazon posts, which is like a special little, it's like Instagram style posts on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
We actually change. We take a base photo, mm-hmm. and then we change the photo. So we do a few things like there's like, so we'll have, like, I'll just say we have a set of like 5 photos, let's say, right?
Okay.
So you take those 5 photos and you set like 4 different crops, right? So you kind of have like far crop, a close, kind of a tight crop, and then like a zoomed in crop, kind of like on the very edge, like, oh, look at mm-hmm. this cool thing, right? So then you have 3 crops for the 5. Okay, so now we use 3 extra images. And then we actually will twist it 10% this way and 10% that way, 10% to the left, 10% to the right.
Yeah.
And that then 3x's again. So we can take those 5 photos, and this kind of gets around the Amazon's algorithm that you keep, like if you upload the same photo, they don't like that. Okay. But if you post fresh content, these are good quality photos, right?
Yeah.
But they're fresh content algorithmically, yeah. because they're the same image, but cropped and twisted. And so we can actually take these 5 photos that are perfect. They're still great photos. All the things are great. It's all good content. It just gets past Amazon's like algorithm to like check for duplicates. Mm-hmm. And then we now have 10, or actually we have 3 times 3. So we have 9 extra. So we take 5 and turn it into 45, right?
Yep.
It works, right? Mm. Works for Amazon okay. posts. As it works right now. Oh, also, if it makes sense, there's no text, you can flip it too. You can do like a horizontal invert, right? Mm. There's no text. Obviously, if you have text, it looks stupid. But so you can do that.
I'm with you. Yeah. I get that. Yeah, I can see the value in that. And honestly, like Etsy, there's no requirement to change the image. That's the kind of the crazy part about it. It's like,
okay, you don't have to change. Well, there you go. I'm overthinking it then. Yeah. I don't need to do that. That's where we post the same thing.
Yeah, that's, you don't even have to do that. It's really like, you could literally copy the same listing if you want over and over again. Now, I don't know if there's much upside to that, because I don't know how much you're going to be actually competing with the same listing for like the SEO type of stuff. But overall, like in theory, you could do that.
Okay, that's interesting. So, but it costs 20 cents to list something, right?
Correct.
So you wouldn't want to do this like times 1,000, because then you would be paying $200 in listing fees and probably isn't right. worth it at that point. But okay, let's go with that. The 5x. I like the 5x. That's a good mm-hmm. little, that's a good nugget right there. If you're on Etsy, you're doing the Etsy thing, just try 5xing your catalog, see what happens. Or maybe just take one listing that's doing like pretty well and like 5x, or maybe one that's doing like okay, 5x mm-hmm. it and see if you do more than okay with that okay listing.
Sure.
There you go. That's a golden nugget.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, the way that you could also look at it too is, you know, the cool thing about Etsy versus Amazon is Amazon, like the images, forget, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but the images, you have to have like white background, like has to be standard, whatever you have in the image, like you have to be selling that one thing. So you can't have like 2 coffee cups if you're actually selling one. If you can't have like a little badge on there that says fast free shipping from the USA, right? You can't have any of that.
Yeah,
technically.
Yeah.
on Etsy, all at the moment, it's all fair game. So you can literally if you're decent at marketing, if you're decent actually, you know, driving a higher click-through rate using like a better main image, then you have a huge advantage on Etsy, because you could literally say, if you have fast shipping, you know, you can actually put a badge on there that says fast shipping. And if you have, you know, 100% like cotton, for example, and that's an advantage for whatever thing, right? You put it on there in its text, and you could also have the image on there. If you want to have, you know, 5 coffee mugs in your picture, even though it's just, you know, selling one, you can do that too. So there's a lot of, you can play with some things to increase your click-through rate to actually get people into your listing on Etsy, versus you can't really do that on Amazon.
You know, a big advantage you'd have if you're selling from Amazon and fulfilling from Amazon would be that you could offer 2-day shipping for a fairly affordable price. Mm-hmm. And that would be a great, I mean, speaking of adding badges, you could say, you know, free 2-day, 3-day shipping. I always say free 3-day shipping, because there's always some like weird, I don't know. There's always something that like doesn't quite connect. And that gives me an extra day to kind of like mm-hmm. make sure. And you know what, worst case scenario, I under promise and over deliver, right? Yeah, that's great. I love that. So in terms of, again, focusing on marketing and how to rank on Etsy, keywords, mm-hmm. how do we know keyword shit on Etsy?
Yeah. So the best way to do it, I would say, is probably just what I usually do is what I'd recommend, and what a lot of our top users, top sellers actually do, is they find, let's say I'm selling this mug. Instead of like trying to do a bunch of like crazy research on like the best mug keywords, they could literally go to Everbee. They type in mugs in the search bar. They can pull analytics on the top selling mugs, right, on Etsy, on the first page of main page. They could sort it by revenue. And then what I would personally do is I'd probably just copy all the tags, all the keywords of that top listing, and actually just use that, copy their homework, right, and put it into your listing. Take the ones out that don't make sense, of course, and I would just reuse those same tags and then put them in my listing.
For the uninitiated, can you explain what a tag is?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So do you know, I don't know what you call it in Amazon. When you create the listing in Amazon, you go into the back of the listing, right? And you literally have to tell them, I forget the keyword that Amazon uses.
It's actually the search terms, although colloquially we call it the back end search terms. So you go into the Amazon inventory listing, whatever, the tab thingy.
So think of back end search terms as, for Amazon, think of them equals tags on Etsy.
Got it.
Right? It's telling Etsy, hey, what is this product related to? Right? Because Etsy will take the first third of your title, of your keywords in your title.
First third of, oh, okay. This is stuff I don't know. All right. So, okay. Wait, let's focus on tags and then we'll go to title.
Okay.
Okay. So tag is back end search terms. If we're talking to Amazon people, it's back end search terms, and we get a certain number of them, right?
13.
We got lucky 13 terms. So you don't get, Amazon does like 200 characters or something, and Etsy does not do that. They do 13 phrases. What should you put in those phrases? Should it be like, could you get like 5 words inside of one phrase, or should you just like focus, like you're just, it's all about phrases, or is it all about like word count?
Yeah, I don't know if there's a character count with it. I forget. But it's usually like long tail search phrases is certainly like okay, and actually probably suggested to do that in Etsy. Not necessarily is there a huge advantage to like repeat search terms. Like for example, if I have to sell this mug and it's a funny mug, for example, I'll do like funny mug and then, you know, gifts for dad even, right? It's just telling another reason to pull up in the search term. You know, porcelain cup, you know, and I would just throw in a bunch of search terms in that tag section just to help with the, you know, the on-platform SEO.
Nice. Good. That makes sense. And then you said that you could see the homework of your competitors. What does that mean? How do you, like, so they have those tags or with the other people, how do we see those?
Yeah, Everbee shows you those tags. Yeah, Etsy used to show this stuff in the past, but they don't anymore, or at least not in an easy way. I mean, you could probably do some hacky ways and try to find out the tags of each listing, and you could do that for sure. Everbee just makes it like 10 times, 100 times faster to actually literally see all the tags of each specific listing. And then it's coupled with like how much revenue this listing is doing too, how many favorites this listing has, how long has this listing been on Etsy, which Etsy doesn't really share. So you can kind of use all this data to make decisions on how you should even optimize your listing.
Nice. That's cool. I love that.
Cool. Yeah, it's cool, man. Like there's, if you take a data mind, like when I say data mind, I mean just like an Amazon seller, because it's mostly Amazon selling is really about like data and like numbers, and like that's really where Amazon selling, successful Amazon sellers do, right?
It's, I would say it's 50% data, 20% maybe three parts data, one part operations, mm-hmm. and one part branding and marketing. So kind of majority data. Yes. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. So essentially, if you just take your three parts of data, members, you know, that strategy to Etsy, you're going to dominate. Like, you'll dominate, like, for sure. If there's a market for it on Etsy, which you could validate with Everbee, make sure there's a market. You know, but certainly you'll dominate just because of all of your background in Etsy. You take, like, your listing optimization strategies, right? For example, like, all the keyword stuff that we mentioned, but also just, like, your professional images, right? That we all know that is so, so important for Amazon listings, Amazon conversion rates. If you just take that information, apply it to Etsy, you're going to have success, because the majority of Etsy sellers don't know how to have good pictures, right? They don't know how to have professional pictures. Like, they typically are hearing, hey, just list as many, make as many listings as you can, throw them on Etsy. And that's partially true, but they're not creating like good images, good listings every single time. And Etsy, I believe there's image slots of 7 image slots. The majority of Etsy sellers are only taking advantage of like 2 image slots sometimes. Right. And we all know that's like a big no-no on Amazon.
Oh, man.
Right. So imagine if you just fill out all the image slots, plus add in a video, you know, in your listing, which is a fairly new thing on Etsy, 2 years old. Like, you add it in, you're going to just increase your conversion rates that much more.
Nice. Oh, that's cool. All right, guys, that is the end of part one. This is a 2-part series I'm doing with Cody on Etsy. This first part, we all talked about how to take those products from Etsy and move them onto Amazon. The tools that we can use to do this, of course, are Everbee. Awesome tool. I love it. We have a special discount for you. If you go to zoncompodcast.com/Everbee, you will get a 25% off of the paid plan. But the cool thing is that we actually have a lot of free options for you. So, Cody, tell us, how do those other different structures of plans work?
Yeah, absolutely. So Everbee is a free tool. So we have a free plan, which we call it our hobby plan. It's $0 per month, no credit card required. Literally, you can go in there and mess around with it right now and see it. And then we also have a pro plan, which is like $7.99 per month. And that's 30 searches, like 30 analytics, you know, per month that you can take advantage of. And then if you want to like unlimited everything, if you want to be able to like literally have no restrictions on anything at all, the tags, the products, validations, the revenue, everything unlimited, then you have our growth plan, which is $30 a month. And again, that's unlimited everything. So as you were kind of mentioning, there's a special offer for your listeners that we kind of put together, and it's 25% off of the growth plan, either the monthly plan or the annual plan. And they could jump in there and have unlimited everything for 25% off. So take advantage of it.
Love it. Nice. Nice. This is a great opportunity to go find those products on Etsy. Again, like I said, this is actually a strategy I personally use. It totally works. We built our $1 million brand partially off that strategy. Of course, there's other strategies too, but that was one of the strategies we use. It's fantastic. So Everbee is the place to go for that. So Cody, thank you so much. We are going to bring the second part. Part two will be next week. We're going to be talking with Cody about how, when we bring our products to Etsy, how we can set up our listings and rank well. We're going to talk about advanced ranking strategies and how some of the strategies on Amazon work completely copy-paste work on Etsy, and some do not. And so we're going to talk about the intricacies of that. So Cody, thank you so much for being here. It's great to have you.
Oh man, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's a pleasure.